Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com. That's abilitychiro.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
It's In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh. On the
radio. 30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys in line.
Welcome back. Hour two of In This League right here on Sports Grid. Bogman and the Welsh talking stuff. Talking things. Bogman, I watched The Platform on
the
Netflix
platform
over the weekend.
The Platform, rated R.
It is wild. It is.
Is it, all is in it like Tinder? Is that what it's about? Like dating platform?
No, it's not.
They is it about platform shoes?
No. It,
is it about platform diving?
You have to be comfortable with subtitles. That's what the movie's in.
Paths.
It is wacko. And here's a suggestion. Not the best movie to watch close to midnight when it's dark and everyone is away and there's this guy with this creepy voice and like, hello, little snail. And it's like about, it's not prisoners, but it's kind of like prisoners. And it's just, there's two people per level and this food comes down. And you can imagine what happens as it gets to the lowest levels and people probably aren't the big shariest. And it's sometimes it's baffling to me. I mean, I could appreciate Netflix knows how to buy the right content, but it's crazy to me that Netflix can get on these and then they're just like, hey, everybody watch The Platform. It's like literally their previewed thing. It's like Ozarks, watch this family fall apart and watch, you know, how to launder money. And then while you're at it, why don't you watch people eat each other in prisons?
Yeah, I mean, what's better in an apocalypse, right? Let's have all the depressing TV shows. That's why I was glad they added Community the other day.
I did see that.
So that's good for Netflix that they added some fun things. But yeah, it's almost tough to watch a drama right now, you know, because everything is dragging and weird every day you get up and there's some new weirdness. And but The Platform, are you recommending it? I mean, outside of those hours that you gave us?
It's a good movie. I enjoyed it.
And I said pass on the subtitles, but I just watched Main Hoon Na, which is a 3-hour movie with tons of subtitles. So I'm good with subtitles.
Yeah. I mean, subtitles are fine with me. It's a good movie, but like, I don't know, I guess a little bit when you walk around and you see the grocery store is completely empty and then you go and watch, The Platform where it get, you know, there's enough food to theoretically go down like hundreds of levels and it doesn't make it past like, you know, level 40 or something like that. And you're just like, yeah, that's kind of a little determination of society right now. But just, I don't know, maybe don't watch it really late at night. Before you go to bed, that's my suggestion.
Don't watch it right before bed. There might be a platform person underneath your bed.
A platform person. Speaking of Community, by the way, Rex Ryan, I think, is slowly, maybe quickly actually, becoming a character from Community, kind of. I feel like that's what's actually happening. I don't know if you saw this. I don't know what the hell happened. This made me think of it because Sammy Watkins just restructured a contract to stay with the Chiefs, and wide receivers are on the mind, and ESPN and all of that, you know, obviously looking for things to talk about. We're talking about old news, and apparently Amari Cooper came up, and this is the show with Greenberg, right?
I don't know. To be honest, I don't know what show it was on. I saw the clip, but I don't know who was asking him anything.
Okay, I think it's Greenberg and someone else. I don't watch. I literally don't watch these shows at all. I just wait for the internet to, you know, get up in arms. I wait for the internet to tell me what we're supposed to be upset about. That's kind of how 2020
don't
works.
Don't do that.
That's how
everything.
Well, that's how things work right now. But apparently, Rex Ryan was on the panel, and they wanted to get his take on the 5-year, $100 million deal with Rex Ryan. And Ryan pulled an absolute 180 to what we're used to on multiple fronts. We don't hear coaches talk like this on these type of networks. We just don't hear analysts talk like this. He went in on Amari Cooper. Listen to this audio of Rex Ryan on ESPN. This is the show Get Up, talk about this deal. This is crazy.
Well, I agree with Dan on the fact that I wouldn't have paid this guy. To me, this is the biggest disappearing act in the National Football League. He doesn't show up on the road. He doesn't show up against, when the competition's good, when he's against the top corners, that guy disappears. And to me, he reminds me, it's only one time that I can remember in recent memory on elite receivers and disappearing acts like Amari Cooper. That was the kid that the Raiders had a few years ago. Oh, that's right. That was Amari Cooper. This is who he is. And Dan, he doesn't love football. Hell with it. He stops his routes. He does all this. I wouldn't have paid this turd. No way in hell.
All right.
No way in hell would I have paid this guy. To me, you pay Dak Prescott. Forget all those numbers. That, you know, they're number one in the league because of Dak Prescott, not because of this guy. It's a deep draft at receiver. They made a huge mistake right
now. He called him. I mean, he says, I wouldn't pay this turd. And you hear Greenberg.
Remind me, is turn a good or bad term? I can't remember.
It's not. It's not good. Unless it's a South Park character, it's not good. It's not great. But like, he didn't say, this is a, you know, poop of a contract. He called Amari Cooper a turd. He said, I wouldn't have paid this turd. And he spent 30 seconds building up and talking about how inconsistent he is, saying he doesn't love football. He's a bad route runner. What the hell did Amari Cooper do to Rex Ryan?
I mean, he just turned back into a coach, you know what I mean, and an evaluator.
Did he forget he was on television because he's at home?
He must have. I mean, you know, he didn't say anything horrific, so that's why I'm thinking maybe he didn't, you know what I mean? You know, he just called him a turd, which isn't great to say on television, but it isn't the worst thing I'm sure Rex Ryan has ever called a player. So it's not the worst thing I've ever heard, but it's not good. And people got to know Rex Ryan is just, how can you respect his opinion?
He's
when
the
he says foot.
Well,
like
he's
that?
Also, he likes feet a lot too.
You and our buddy Will, our friend Will in our GroupMe room was like, ever since I heard out that he likes feet, I'm out.
Out.
So, and I'm like, I'm sure there's people that like feet that have decent opinions. You know what I mean?
Not like
for,
that.
Not for me, but very strange, but, you know, I wouldn't discount his football opinion because he likes feet.
I would.
Probably poor decision making overall. Is that what you're saying?
I would 100%. I would think, you know, his decision, how he likes to get in on feet, I think that clouds a lot of his football judgment. 100%. I need to see. I need to see this. Does Amari Cooper have a Twitter? Let's see. Amari.
I'm sure he does. I mean, I don't.
All right, here it is.
I tend to not follow athletes, but
yeah, it's called Rest in Peace, Freddie G. Okay. He hasn't tweeted since 2016. So I don't think we're going
to expect a response.
I'm
right?
not expecting that we're going to, maybe he's on Instagram or something like that. Like, I want to see the response. Like there's something deeper there. Like that is a wild take from a former coach. That's the type of stuff, man. If he ever had any type of hope of maybe getting back in, That kills that type of stuff. He has an Instagram.
You
he has,
Ryan?
Yeah, absolutely. Like that, you can't be going on and publicly talking about players like that. He wasn't even like soft about it. Like we've seen it from time to time where you'll see analysts and former coaches and stuff. They'll just be like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think there's a question of maybe, you know, his consistency. You know, he's had some deals with Rex Ryan didn't. He didn't. I don't know if I can use that word. I was going to say a word, but it's not a bad word, but the first part of the word is bad. It's blanky foot around the, I don't even know if I could say that anymore. He didn't dance around it. He's just like, no, he sucks. He's a bad route runner. He doesn't care about football. He doesn't show up. He's awful. He's a turd. He literally called him a turd.
Well, wouldn't we call this the Raiders effect? I mean, I'm not trying to be completely insulting to the Raiders, and they improved much more, with Gruden as head coach now. But, you know, we saw Randy Moss go to Oakland and be terrible for a while and then, you know, go to New England and become more inspired and be a Hall of Famer. There's just something about Oakland where when they're bad, they're really bad and the players don't even want to be there. So I think it's more about Oakland than it is about Amari Cooper.
No, but I mean, he went out on Oakland.
I mean, this
but
attack
he also,
is personal.
Dallas, though. He also talked about Dallas, but he used Oakland a lot in reference to it.
Right, right. Well, I mean, he's only had the one season in Dallas, so I'm surprised to hear this, but I feel like if we were gonna hear this and then we see that it's Rex Ryan saying it, I'm like, okay, well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
it's just
if Herm Edwards had said this, I'd be like, whoa. You know what I mean? Holy crap.
Yeah, but
Herm Edwards said that, but it's especially now that he's coaching ASU and he's not on ESPN anymore, that'd be even more surprising.
That would be even more like, Herm, why are you so mad at Amari Cooper as the ASU head coach?
Herm, you took a break from coaching to come over here and talk crap about Amari Cooper, but...
Did he take someone away from you? Okay, but like, there's other loud-mouthy type of coaches and players and stuff like that. I haven't heard someone that was that ingrained into football do that. Here's the only thing that almost comes to mind is Rex he's obviously an entertainer. I mean, the guy liked to have pictures of his wife's feet at his desk and stuff. And you know, this is the gross stuff that he does. He sees the entertainment. I think there could be a part of understanding the business he's in, seeing the guys that are making the money, like Skip and all of them. And then you look at the money that is being thrown around to analysts like Tony Romo, that maybe Rex knows football is far gone. If he goes in as the bad guy, the guy that, you know, something could come out of nowhere, he's all of a sudden going to get a show and he's going to make a bunch of money. And that's the play. Because the only thing I can think of,
let's get him and Booger on a show. So we know that neither one of them are going to be calling any games.
Gross feet and gross hands.
Yeah, and then we can just not watch that show ever.
Yeah, they call it Fingers and Toes.
Oh, God.
Gross.
I don't know why, but calling it Fingers and Toes makes it disgusting.
It does make it disgusting.
Oh, God.
I can't get over that. I wouldn't have paid this turd.
Yeah, I don't understand what Rex is doing here. I just don't get it. Like you said, it had to be in his head. He's either thinking, you know, he's either not thinking A, or he's thinking, I'm going to say this opinion and everyone's going to be talking about me. Or, you know what? This could be like the really weird hero syndrome. I'm going to talk about this. People are going to be talking about it for a day and they're going to forget about their issues. Like, maybe he's even thinking that, but this is just, it's just a stupid comment to make. So, I mean, I don't remember something like this, coming out of ESPN randomly. Right?
No,
when was the last time something like this happened where a personality just flat out insulted a player?
I mean, you have like here's the closest thing I can think of. It's Colin Cowherd with Baker Mayfield on the air.
Okay. Yep.
That's the closest thing.
But
it wasn't quite an
insult.
Cowherd
did that with Mayfield in the room.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
He also did it with Mayfield not there, but he also, like, I feel like Rex Ryan wouldn't say this to Amari Cooper.
No way.
If Amari Cooper was standing there.
No. Well, you know, I don't know. Rex is that kind of a crazy. Like, there's something there. Like I was thinking about, I just saw this, I just saw one of those posts that Schefter was tweeting about kind of the odd times that we're in, and he's commenting how, he says a sign of the times, you know, 2 weeks after the deal in Atlanta for Todd Gurley, it's not official because he still hasn't taken a physical because he's quarantined in LA. Similarly, the DeAndre Hopkins and David Johnson trade still hasn't become official due to the lack of physicals. It's been agreed upon, but not processed. But then I think like, Jesus, like, you know, Hopkins is traded, you know, because of the bad relationship. So like the bad relationships are real and big moves are done. But Rex is the type of guy, I don't know, man. Rex is the type of guy that doesn't really mince words. I think he kind of feels he's a little bit invincible and that he can talk to. I mean, like, listen, like that's kind of a play of like, you know, old school radio. You know, we'll go on and be like, I got a loser and we'll do stuff like that. And you jump into there. But that seemed super personal to go in.
Yeah,
on that.
It really did. You're right. It seems super personal. It seemed like...
like he drafted him in his fantasy team a couple years ago and it didn't work out.
Yeah, it seemed like Amari Cooper personally did something against Rex Ryan. I don't know. maybe there's a story there that we don't know about, but I can't think of one. You know, you're right about the Colin Cowherd thing. The one that sticks out in my mind, it's weird because it's Matthew Berry. And he wasn't being unbelievably insulting, but he was doing, you remember how they do the the fantasy football 24-hour show once a year?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was the first or second year they were doing that. And he was asking, it was on ESPN News, I remember this. And I'm watching it, and they asked Matthew Berry about a player, and he just ran out of nice, bad things to say about him, you know, like, he's inconsistent, like you said. And he just looks at the host and goes, dude, he sucks. Don't put him on your fantasy team, all right? If you do, you're going to have issues. So just don't take this guy. And I honestly can't even remember who he was talking about. I feel like it was a wide receiver, but I can't put... you know, I can't put my finger on the name for the life of me right now. But that when I remember seeing that going like, dude, you're not on a podcast right now. You're on ESPN talking about how a player sucks. And Matthew Berry is a person that meets players.
Yeah.
You
like
know what I mean?
We say people suck. Like,
nobody
cares about
us. We're never
going
to meet a player unless, you know, I'm delivering Postmates to them. So yeah. It doesn't really matter.
I meet the minor leaguers before they become major leaguers. So, you know, I can know them before I say they suck.
Well, everyone's a great prospect when you meet them. You
exactly.
know what I mean? So
exactly. They don't suck until they become major leaguers.
Right. Yeah, exactly. When they become major leaguers and they're on your team and they're dragging down your batting average or they can't hit any homers or they're supposed to steal bases or they go in a slump, then they suck. But when they're minor leaguers, they're amazing and they're chock full of talent.
I definitely think it's one of like Rex is recognizing. Here's a Sports Illustrated thing right here. He calls this. I literally just saw the tweet. Rex quote: "This is the biggest disappearing act in the National Football League. I wouldn't
Good
have
Lord.
Paid this turd. Unbelievable. They're going in on it. What I
so
think,
are we going to get a new nickname out of this? Is he now? Is Amari Cooper now Houdini?
It's Turd Cooper. I think he's Turd Cooper.
Cooper.
Yeah. what I think the two things are is I think one is Rex is smartening up to try to create his personality. It's personality Rex time. It's like I'm going to be on a talk show. I'm going to be the big controversial guy. I'm going to be the next Whitlock. I'm going to be the next Shannon Sharp. That's the role he's going to play.
I got a nickname, by the way. You remember whose treasure they're looking for in Without a Paddle? D.B. Cooper.
Nope.
And his money that he stole.
Uh-uh.
Now, Amari Cooper can be D.A. Cooper, Disappearing Act Cooper.
D.A. Cooper. There you go. The only other solution I can think of here is this is a symptom of the quarantine right now. And Rex is bored out of his mind. He's sitting at home. He's obviously in his home office as he's doing this. You're just going out of your gorge. You just spout. You lose kind of control of the normalcy you're supposed to have, and you get on air. You get all excited. He's all worked up, and he's like, and he's just being salacious
quarantine
because you're
fatigue.
Bored. Quarantine fatigue. That's a good way to put it. That's absolutely. We got to go to break here. When we come back, we're going to talk more football. Bogman just released the Dynasty ranks. There's the NFL draft coverage. Obviously, the draft is coming up soon. So we'll talk a little bit, talk some football here. Coming up on In This League right around the corner. More Bogman, the Welsh. Find us on Twitter at IsTheWelsh, at Bogman Sports. And go on over to InThisLeague.com. We'll be right back.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me.
I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in this league.
I love you.
Ready to party.
Welcome back, friendos. It is In This League right here on Sports Grid, hour two. Still in hour two, it's Bogman and myself, and we're talking a little bit of football. If you happened to be a part of our Patreon, we thank you, first off, but In This League takes you to patreon.com/ITL Army. There's many important reasons. We've got tons and tons of cool content like we've talked about, but Bogman just released on Friday his top dynasty list. What is the numerically, what is it through, like top 200, 300? 1200?
I did overall, I did 150. 150, 160. Now I can't remember the number, but right around there. And I think it to me, that is going deep on an overall list. Yeah, 150 overall. So that's going deep on an overall list because you know how much I love overall list. I mean, after the first couple picks, then you have to fill out your roster. But you know, I went that deep. And then on positions, I went 45 quarterbacks and tight ends. For running backs, I went about 105. And then wide receivers, I did 160.
Okay, very good. So you can get the list over on our Patreon right now. And Bogman even did a live stream. It's a social distancing with Bogman on Thursday where you guys talked. You were talking about it, right?
Yeah, yeah. So what I did was I gave all those guys that joined me in the chat a sneak preview of my rankings and stuff, and then had them ask me some questions about my list. Like, I got a couple "Why do you hates?" There's a couple of those.
Ah,
but
give me one. Well, give me one. What was the first "Why do you hate"?
"Why do you hate Mike Williams?" was my very
Chargers
first.
Mike Williams.
Chargers Mike Williams.
Okay, so yes. Why do you hate Mike Williams?
I got him at 35. So I'll give that one away as far as wide receivers go in a dynasty list. And there's a couple reasons why I hate Mike Williams. Number one is the quarterback situation in L.A., where I almost said San Diego, but I didn't. Caught myself. Very proud. Very proud. But the quarterback situation is going to be Tyrod Taylor throwing the ball this year. And we know he is a running quarterback. So you're probably just overall going to see fewer passes. And who is going to replace him at this current spot in time? We don't know. Are they going to draft Justin Herbert? That's the rumor right now. But even if they draft Justin Herbert, he's kind of similar to Tyrod Taylor. He is a run first QB. If you watched him at Oregon, he's behind one of the best offensive line. He doesn't particularly go through his progressions very well. So he takes off and runs. So if that is their guy, I fear a little bit more of a running quarterback for them. So that is, and plus the fact that they have Keenan Allen, Hunter Henry, and Austin Ekeler all to catch the football still. So I'm going to be overall low on Mike Williams and specifically for this year as well.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that makes sense here. So I wanted to ask you just a few questions on the list because dynasty ones, you know, obviously there's usually a stark difference. Though football, it's not necessarily as big as it would be, let's say, for baseball, because baseball, there's, you know, guys that might be years away that are showing up, you know, inside the top 100 because you're trying to get in on the next big talent. Not necessarily the case in a football dynasty, but one of the biggest changes that happens in dynasty is the valuation of running backs, where in a redraft, you know, you'll probably see somewhere upwards of half, if not 3/4 of a first round look like running backs, where in dynasty, the valuations tend to alter, where it might be inverse of wide receivers. People think wide receivers hold up better and they tend to be valued a little bit higher. I'm curious, what is the mix? You don't have to give me all the players, but what is the mix of the first, you know, 12 players look like as far as wide receiver to running back? Is it wide receiver-ish heavy?
No, it's actually kind of split. It's more split. And the reason that is because we have a lot of young running backs in the league right now, which is overall the case, of course, because the position burns out quicker than others. But, you know, if you think about it in terms of just kind of rotating and who we have now, right now we have a lot of old quarterbacks, a lot of them roaming around in the NFL, not too many young ones. So the top of the list is young guys like Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, but it's tougher to rank those quarterbacks because a lot of them are, you know, on the last their last legs here. You know, Brady's 43, Ben's still playing. Philip Rivers has a starting gig, you know, but with the top end wideouts, they're kind of hitting their prime right now. So, you know, guys like Michael Thomas is 27. Devontae Adams is 27 as well. DeAndre Hopkins is going to turn 28 before the season starts. So the top end wideouts are kind of in their prime and the running backs are younger. So, you know, the running backs at this point and wide receivers could potentially last just as long. So I have a pretty good mix. I think you would be happy about it because you don't particularly like the wide receiver heavy.
No,
dynasty
I'm not super big on that. Like, it's fine, except my problem has always been this, is you get the people that tout just from a rooftop and scream at you. And I've been saying this for years. We had that one doofus that was like, you know, you got to take, who are the two idiots? Devontae Parker and Dante Moncrief. If you don't take that, he bashed a mock that we did in a dynasty mock because they weren't taken 12 and 13 overall, and look how that would have worked out. And I feel like it gets touted a little bit too much. But more than anything, it's that there's such an extreme hate on the running back position, which is, but it can make sense though, because look at Todd Gurley. 2 years ago, Todd Gurley's probably the number one or two overall dynasty player, and now he's not going to be a first round ranked player in dynasty, even though he's 25 years old. So there is a correctness to it. That thought process right. is correct. It's just what people end up doing is they go absolutely bonkers for the potential young and up and coming guys. I think, okay, let's talk. I was actually going to go a different direction, but let's talk about this one real quick, because this is, I'm not saying this is the Dante Moncrief, Devontae Parker.
Of course,
so don't everybody get worked up about that. That one was just ridiculous. They're just what, like that one specifically.
Well, they were like brand new.
It
in
didn't
the
warrant
too.
It didn't warrant them being top 15 overall picks over such good players, because I'm still a believer in dynasty. I still want to win. So I'm not going to buy a bunch of guys that are 2 or 3 years away because they might be really good receivers. It's a stupid play, I think. But one of the guys that's getting some of that, and it's different because this guy had such an incredible back half of the year and really stepped up. And I see him, I look around, I scout around online and I see people talking about dynasty. The way I'm seeing him be valued is wild. And I'm talking about DK Metcalf with the Seahawks. Now, obviously he has to be valued higher than he was, you know, than his perceived value. Even coming into this year for redraft. Redraft and dynasty are different. But, like, dude, I'm seeing DK Metcalf, like, in a top 6 or 7 overall wide receiver thing. I've seen people valuing Metcalf over Julio Jones for dynasty. So, yeah, give me your take on DK Metcalf in dynasty, and where do you have him?
I mean, I've got him high, and I actually got a compliment because someone said, I love the Cortland Sutton and DK Metcalf love. But I've got him at 17 at wide receiver. You know, so I'm not going to take one season, which was great, you know, 58 catches, 900 yards, 7 scores. Back half of the season was amazing. Plus, of course, his playoff game against the Eagles where he just torched them, you know, kind of solely himself, not bounce the Eagles out of the playoffs. I do like Metcalf a lot. I mean, overall, I have him as a top 3-round player. But I'm not going to put him at 6 or 7. I think that's a bit much. You know, even, you know, he's in a nice situation. He's in a nice situation with, you know, with Russ Wilson, and he should be there for a while. But I'm not willing to put him up yet into the, you know, Juju and Amari Cooper. And, well, don't tell Rex Ryan I have Amari Cooper.
Either. Yeah, don't tell him that turd. I'll bet you there's a lot of people that would fight you for having fight you in a conversational way of Juju over DK, because I think you're still a pretty big Juju defender.
Well, and just to peel the curtain back a little bit, Bubba and I are going to talk about players that I found it tough to rank. We don't get to wide receivers. We only get to quarterbacks, running backs, and I only had one tight end, and it was O.J. Howard. And for me, he was tough to mock because I still like him. But Juju is absolutely going to be one of the ones we talk about on Tuesday when we finish off with wide receivers. So because Juju's tough to rank. And the reason being because his good season was not only with Ben, but also with AB on the other side. Last year, he was banged up, had backup quarterbacks, and didn't look good just overall. So he's a tough one to rank. So if someone wants to put Metcalf over Juju or they want to lower Juju because of the bad year, it's understandable. I'm just not willing to do it yet. That's all.
Give me what's the biggest wide receiver name, maybe from a redraft perspective? I just like to know the biggest name that you have Metcalf over right now. It could be the very next guy, or, you know, but the next guy might be kind of like more of a dynasty guy. I'd like to know the biggest name that you've got Metcalf over right now.
I mean, I think the next guy is probably the biggest guy. I have him over Keenan Allen for dynasty. I've got him over Adam Thielen for dynasty. And a big reason why I have him, you know, because you mentioned it before, and it's a great point to make. Like, the difference in baseball is much bigger than the difference in any other sport because we have tons of levels, you know what I mean, where we cannot see a guy in the bigs for 5 years, and it's kind of his normal career path. You know, Jason Dominguez is what? He's 16, the Welsh?
Jason Dominguez? Yeah. It might have just turned 17, but yeah, like 16, 17.
So if we don't see him for four more seasons until he's 21, he would kind of be making the normal steps. You know, we expect to see him earlier than that because he's a stud. But if he didn't get up until 20 and 21, he'd be like, okay, that's kind of his path, you know. But the difference in years between some of these guys like Metcalf and Allen, it's over a five-year difference. Between him and Adam Thielen, it's 7 years because DK Metcalf, and this is probably a big part of the reason, he's still only 22 years old.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So he's got a lot of room to build, but he's had some injury stuff before, you know, and he's not all the way proven yet. He hasn't had, you know, a 1,300-yard season with 10 scores or anything like that. 900 yards in seven is amazing in his rookie year, but he still has room to grow.
So what was the overall receiver?
Overall receiver, I have him at 17, and I have him over Keenan Allen at 18.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I actually think you're going to be a little bit on the lower end than a lot of people, but I think you make a lot of good cases. I'm fine if he's somewhere between the 10 and 20 range, somewhere in there. We could get more definitive, you know, if we want in conversation. Just that when I see him being like the 6 overall receiver or something like that, that's where the dynasty hype loses me sometimes, because dynasty ranks are fun and dynasties are fantastic, but there's a lot of turnover that happens. And the idea that, you know, we obviously want the next big thing, but people pass on the current thing so much. And you make a big deal sometimes about age. But, I mean, age is important in football because, like I said, Todd Gurley's the oldest 25-year-old you've ever seen in your life at this point. So I do get it, and I don't want to harp too crazy about it like it's stupid, because football is its own beast and dynasty. But I'm always looking to win. I side a bit more in a redraft perspective of trying to win now and taking to my drafts of being able to get the next big talent than trying to make really big bets on trading for, especially like DK Metcalf specifically, kind of going back to that. This is a run heavy first team. Like, you know, Russell Wilson's going to throw the ball. They're going to throw the ball, but you know, is he going to put up those old Doug Baldwin years? Maybe, you know, maybe that's going to be the case and he'll be valuable, but what's the ceiling on that still? The ceiling is still probably like wide receiver 10, you know, wide receiver 12. Right. So you're paying for, You're paying for a perceived top end unless you believe that a team is going to – unless you believe the Seahawks are going to become the Falcons and how they pass, and then DK Metcalf is now Julio Jones. That's kind of where I side with that. Let me ask you this. Who is the biggest alteration, the first player? DK Metcalf might have been one of them, but give me – the top player in the first couple rounds, if you have to get into round two or three to do it, that's fine, that deviates from redraft to dynasty for you. So like DK, if you believe DK would have been six wide receiver, that would have been what I'm talking about. Someone that would probably have been a fourth rounder in redraft is going in the first round. What is the biggest dynasty redraft to dynasty deviation in your ranks, the top guy?
That's a good question. Probably Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones I have as the 13th running back on my board, and I have him 30 overall for Dynasty, but he's going to be a first-round pick in drafts
so I'm
this
saying,
year.
Say that again. I'm sorry. Re-say it.
Aaron Jones.
No, I know that, but where did you have him?
I've got him at 13 overall in running backs and 30 in my overall.
Oh, okay. So you took the inverse. I was kind of saying, yes, like, who jumped up? You're saying he jumped way back in Dynasty for you.
Yeah, he jumped way back because they're still looking for a running back in Green Bay. And Jamal Williams is still there as well. And Jamal Williams had a decent season. And Green Bay never really seems to be set on one running back. Now, you know, Aaron Jones had an unbelievable year last year, over 1,000 yards rushing and 16 rushing touchdowns, three receiving. So he had nine touchdowns or two receiving, excuse me. So he had 18 touchdowns. So great year for him. And he's still going to be the man this season in Green Bay. But since they're still probably going to draft someone, it may be also they're looking more to replace, you know, Dexter Williams on their roster than it is. And they signed Tyler Irvin, so he's going to be there as well. But between him and Jamal Williams, I just don't see him scoring 16 touchdowns again.
Okay.
And that's the same deal that we saw with Kamara last year. You know, Kamara last year didn't score as many touchdowns as he did in 2018. And all of a sudden he comes down to the pack as kind of a mid-tier running back instead of a top three or four.
So let me ask the inverse on the other side of the break. I want to get a guy that moves up that differentiates himself. That's a really good one. Aaron Jones, I think, would be valued a lot higher for a lot of people. Not the case there. So let's see a guy that jumps up redraft to Dynasty, and maybe even talk a little bit about the NFL draft. So don't go anywhere. More In This League coming up.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Why the f*** is it called a...
In This League.
Because Who could be scared of it?
In this league.
Yeah, just this nice bloke from down the road, isn't he?
What's wrong with you?
Hello, I'm...
In this league.
I've just moved in. My wife has got varicose veins.
I'm having a heart attack. I'm having a heart attack.
You're not having an heart attack.
Welcome back, friendos. Third segment of Hour 2. That means it's the final segment for me. There's more NFL draft or draft talk, fantasy draft talk, coming up in Hour 3 as Bubba and Bogman. They're going to be covering some of that stuff, so a little bit football-centric. But you know what? The NFL draft is right around the corner. It's unbelievable with the sports in a flux that we do have a draft coming up, and we'll probably get continued rumors. There's a lot, like I said, the Schefter stuff is really weird because these teams can't even lock in these physicals. I would wonder if that plays any role in potentially what's going to happen with the upcoming draft. I do expect lots of trades. Those physicals could come into play. My team, like my 49ers, have two picks in the first round. So there's a whole lot. We're going to even have draft coverage over on in this league. Undecided yet if it'll strictly be Patreon, if it'd be both. Maybe there'll be a combination that we'll end up doing. But be on the lookout as we continue getting stuff and joining up with Patreon, the best way to obviously support us, help us continue on in this weird time, but also make sure you're at the tippy top of stuff and take advantage of all the perks. So we would appreciate that. So we're talking about Bogman's Dynasty, NFL Dynasty draft ranks that have just been released on Patreon. You also did a streaming show on it. So I asked you the player, and it's good because you turned this into a two-parter. I asked you the player that had the biggest redraft to dynasty value, and you kind of took the inverse where it was a perceived dynasty player that you dropped, and he dropped down. So now I want the inverse of it, a player that might be or is lower in perceived redraft that has jumped up into dynasty for your dynasty ranks.
I think that guy is probably going to be DJ Moore, and I know there's – can you hear the eye rolls, the Welsh, of people hearing that I like DJ Moore?
Shocker.
You know what I mean?
I know, it's a shocker.
Not like something I haven't been preaching for a while at this point. But I think it's a good point to make here that DJ Moore is still the same age as A.J. Brown and DK Metcalf, and he's got another year of experience. And when you look at the Panthers roster and they're replacing – Cam Newton and Kyle Allen with Teddy Bridgewater, I think DJ Moore is a perfect type of Teddy Bridgewater receiver. He does run long routes, but you can hit him over the middle. You can hit him on short gainers, which is Teddy Bridgewater's favorite routes, of course. And they added Robbie Anderson. I think that's just going to help Moore and McCaffrey this season. Defenses are teeing in on McCaffrey more than they are on Moore as well. So he's the perfect number one wide receiver target on a team that has an amazing running back, even though there is a little bit in flux this year. So for this season, probably a little more of a dicey pick, but I think overall DJ Moore is going to be very successful in his NFL career, and he fits perfectly in Carolina right now. So
yeah, and you got
him as a top two round pick.
Yeah, you got him at 23 overall. And I would actually say, Boggs, I think there's an argument that DJ Moore might be a better bet than Juju Smith-Schuster right now. You know, I think you have two Bogman guys that are controversial because you are just so staunch, and I appreciate that because I do the same stuff on the baseball front. You're just so staunchly you won't listen to anybody because I think Fournette and Juju are just too high on your list. I don't like Fournette over some of the players you have, but you are a firm believer in him, and he's still relatively young. And with Juju, DJ Moore is a year younger than Juju. And I know Ben Roethlisberger is coming back, but I think there's massive questions surrounding Juju with performance, with Ben, with his status with the Pittsburgh Steelers. That I think DJ Moore deserves to be over Juju. So I like your DJ Moore rank, but I actually think he could be higher.
Of Juju's 2018, before we move past that point, 111 catches, 1,426 yards, and 7 scores. So last year was as bad. 42 catches, 552 yards, and 3 touchdowns. So, look, he's had a really good season and a really bad season. So, but last year there was so much. He was banged up, no Ben. The offense was horrific. James Conner was hurt as well. Like, there was just air brakes put on that offense. So I'm not going to back off my Juju love.
also correlated with the loss of an impact receiver on the other side of him.
Yes.
Like that,
yes.
That's what I'm getting at. Like I appreciate you are still valuing the talent. I still think if you had Juju, I think if you swap DJ Moore and Juju, I think you're still being favorable to Juju. And I don't know. I would love to. We should probably have looked, and maybe this is something we could do here coming up after the NFL draft is some analysis. I don't know what the industry fully believes on Juju as far as dynasty goes, because there are so many young, talented receivers, you know, AJ Moore or AJ Brown. You obviously have DJ Moore for going down just a little bit. You've still got guys like Beckham. Kenny Galladay is in there. We talked about DK Metcalf. And in that, like, Juju's coming off of a horrendous season where, yes, he also had
Juju's
a really good
13
one.
On Fantasy Pros right now.
Okay.
In Dynasty
of wide receiver.
Nope.
Of all or Dynasty. Okay. Yeah. I mean, okay. That's one. That's, I would love to know, like, we should go and look at, like, you know, the there's a couple, like, Dynasty nerds and stuff like that. I'd like to see if that is more of a consensus because I
feel
like.
Well, he's got
like
a wide range. So you're absolutely right about that. His best is 7 overall, his worst is 40. So looking at, I don't think there's another player that drops. Funny enough, the next player that has a big range is DJ Moore, who's high as 9 and low as 41.
Yeah.
So
I just think like the safer bet if I were doing a restart dynasty is I would treat Juju as the wheel guy. I'd move more. I mean, but you have a couple running backs below there. But again, all I'm picking on is like you have a couple guys that you love. Those are your guys. So as much as you're saying like DJ Moore is your guy, I think you're good on that. But you've established that Fournette and Juju are still your guys for better or worse. Like you have them over some really good players that are coming off of amazing years. And both of them, those guys, I mean, Fournette is coming off of a pretty damn solid year. I shouldn't say that. He had 76 catches, so he had a really good year. Juju did not, and Juju doesn't justify it outside of the prior year. So that's what's always a fun conversation about Dynasty and what makes it really interesting.
Yeah. And, you know, Fournette, where I have him, you know, 13 overall on the Fantasy Pros list, he's 23. So he's... I'm obviously way more in on Fournette than other people are. And I think is going to hit other people more. I think you heard it from me so much. You just kind of expect it.
I expected
you know what I mean?
It. As soon as I looked at your list, I was like, yep, there you are with Fournette. Like I couldn't disagree more with the two running backs you have below him. Then it starts to become a big open question about, you know, like him versus guys like Josh Jacobs and stuff like that. And those are bigger. Miles Sanders, another one. Those are kind of bigger questions. But, yeah, I'm totally you've been touting Leonard Fournette since he was at LSU.
Right. So I'm just a Fournette fan. I think he's still the number one option in the Jaguars offense, you know, especially when they don't have a franchise quarterback right now. Gardner Minshew is good. He's good enough to start 16 games in the NFL. I don't know if he's good enough to bring the Jaguars to the playoffs on a consistent basis. In fact, I don't think he is. So they are going to rely on Leonard Fournette for the foreseeable future until they get that franchise quarterback. So I like him moving forward. So I'm definitely going to be high on Fournette. But that, to be honest, I kind of have him probably where he is in redraft, you know, right around the turn.
Yeah, no, you do. You 100% do. All right, so let me ask you this. Let me turn this. The NFL draft, which is a couple weeks away. One thing you didn't release on this is you didn't have you released already or at all your rookie ranks or
no,
your pre-rookie
no,
rank?
Like,
you just refused to.
Those are going to be – they just matter so much. Context matters so much for those. I'll have, like, rankings in about a week or two on how I like them going into the draft. But that stuff, your pre-draft rankings really don't matter after the draft. And because context matters so much. I mean, I have guys that I love in this draft, of course, like I always do. But
okay, so let me ask you this. Because there's a point to what I'm getting at. Are you definitive in what your top five prospects dynasty-wise look like?
Well,
from the draft. So I want to know what from this draft is the order of definitiveness do you have?
Well, Lamb and Judy are in their own tier.
So they're one and two.
They're one and two.
And
after
is it Lamb first?
No, it's Judy first.
Okay. So Judy is your number one overall prospect. Lamb is your number two. Okay. Then go.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, They're both so good. It's hard for me to tell you I like Judy over Lamb, but and people are going to think that's OU bias for me, but I just like Judy. So
okay.
And Lamb and Judy one.
Don't go too much into this because you'll see what I'm doing here. I just like they're one and two. Situation could alter maybe where you go with one or the other. That's how strong you are. What is the next? What is the tier? I'm guessing the running backs are going to be next, or what is this next confirmed tier?
Yeah, it's Swift, Taylor, Dobbins, the running backs.
Perfect.
Those are the next three.
Let's focus on those five for a second.
Okay.
Now, you're right. Context is the most important thing. It means everything here. Where these guys go, you know, Jonathan Taylor could look great, and then he could get drafted by Jacksonville, and he's sitting behind Leonard Fournette,
right.
And everything changes.
Well, I would lower Leonard Fournette a lot, too.
Okay, so context is important here, but let's take that out for a minute, and let's just assume those five players are taken in spots that immediately want them to impact, and it's a good situation. So we've got Lamb, we've got Judy Lamb, Taylor Swift, and Dobbins.
Taylor Swift.
Start. We've only got about 6 minutes here. Give me the range of Judy. Let's start with Judy for a second, where he's in a good spot. You know, San Francisco, he's being labeled to a whole lot, but give me where your initial, you're not tying anything to it. You haven't put it on paper, but where does Judy slot in on these dynasty ranks if he goes to a decent landing spot?
You want overall or by position? Let's go by position.
Okay, let's go by position. Yeah, give me the spot he's in or who he's sandwiched between.
Judy and Lamb would be 5 and 6, probably.
Overall.
Among wideouts.
Wideouts. So you're saying that they would both be above Chris Godwin?
Yes. Yeah. Right. They would be in that tier. They would be Judy and Godwin. The reason I put them over Godwin is because I'm assuming that they go to their team and they're immediately the number one option. Godwin is the one option right now, but they still have Mike Evans. They throw the ball a million times, but we're going to see that change with Tom Brady as well. So, yeah. I would put those two.
But what if one of those guys is probably going to be a San Francisco 49er? So does that change anything with how the 49ers run?
It probably would. Like if let's just throw Judy on the Niners, I would probably put him behind Godwin and Evans at that point.
Okay, because that's where I think I would put them initially is already behind Godwin
heavy.
And Evans.
They're so run heavy.
Okay. Well, in context is important. You can also envision when I ask you these names of the teams that you've mocked them to or seen them go to.
Right.
So what that does is that makes them almost first-round picks. You are labeling the two wide receivers almost dynasty first-round picks overall.
Dynasty,
not
yes.
First-round player. Dynasty over. Yeah, well, redraft, we're not talking about redraft. Redraft's
right,
a whole
other
ballgame. But those guys in a dynasty are essentially taken at the back end of the first, beginning of the second for you. That is a big, big marker. So now let's move to Jonathan Taylor. Is he firmly your top running back? Is he above Swift and Dobbins?
No, I have Swift as my top running back.
Okay, so let's start with Swift then. Swift, where does Swift go as far as running backs, assuming it's a good landing? All these are assuming decent landing spots.
Of course. 12 for me.
12 at
I
running
would have
back.
Him. In running back, I would have him behind Austin Eckler, but ahead of Miles Sanders. So I would put him at 12. And to be honest, I would probably stack all three of those guys above Sanders. So
really?
Sanders is kind of the cut for me because, yeah, Philly's still going to use multiple running backs. Sanders is going to be the main guy, but they're still going to use multiple guys. And I think the Packers are too. So I would put those three guys ahead of Sanders, but behind Eckler on overall ranks, as Eckler is the main dude with the Chargers.
So let me throw a wrinkle in here then, like I did with Judy, because you're giving us non-context. As I told you to, like non-context,
right.
Like just best case scenario. But when you start to get into reality, like I threw, like Judy very likely could be a 49er or Lamb could be a 49er, and that maybe alters a little bit of the value and it comes down a marker. Let's for a moment say all three of those running backs are put in situations where they're not immediately put in as a workhorse. So they're not thrown into a spot where they're obviously the number one. They're thrown into a spot where there's competition, but all equally put into competition. Do you just follow your ranks, or is there an important circumstantial thing that follows them? And maybe more the important question is if they're all put in a situation where they're not clear workhorses in dynasty, are you still comfortable keeping them over Sanders and Jones, just knowing you have to wait a little bit, just like Sanders did? Sanders is kind of the example I'm talking about. He was drafted in a spot where he was not given the go. He was kind of not battling for a job, but he wasn't in a Josh Jacobs situation. Josh Jacobs is best case scenario. Miles Sanders had to battle it out. What if all three of these guys are in a battle out situation? Are they still above Sanders?
No, absolutely not. That's why context matters so much. And that's why I don't like dropping those guys in the initial rankings. And to be honest, the rankings that I put out is kind of so you can take stock of what you have right now before the draft. Because we're a lot of people that are desperate for any type of sports action, the Welsh, they're going to be having that first year player draft like 2 days after the NFL draft. So you need to take stock of what you have now to make potential trades before the actual NFL draft. But if they wound up in spots like where they have to sit behind someone, here's the two scenarios you have, right? You've got the one where you have Miles Sanders, who he sits behind for a little bit, comes on at the back half of the year, or you have a situation like Rashad Penny, who is a first-round pick. Seattle runs the ball more than anyone, looks like a perfect fit, but Chris Carson turns into a much better running back than we expected. Penny has injury stuff. So it all that little stuff adds up. So where I would put those guys, if they weren't the man immediately, I would put them behind Chris Carson, or who I have at 17. That would be ahead of names like Gurley, who is, obviously dragging around that bad knee, Mark Ingram, who's a little bit older, Kareem Hunt, who's behind Nick Chubb. So I would put them ahead of those guys, but behind everyone that's kind of solidified a lock job right now.
Very solid. You can catch Emery Hunt and Bogman talking on the In This League Fantasy Football podcast from this last week. Those dynasty ranks are available on Patreon right now. And the draft is coming up, so be on the lookout for coverage from the NFL draft within this league, Bogman and myself. I am out of here. That doesn't mean In This League ends. Hour 3 coming up, more dynasty talk with Bogman and Bubba. So don't you go anywhere, Fulios. We'll be right back.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice, we play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.